Well, this is an interesting part of Scripture. The Sermon on the Mount is one of those, in many ways, one of the most well-known passages of Scripture. Little bits and pieces of it show up in popular culture all over the place. The Beatitudes are well known as one of those aspirational goals that we very seldom hit. And people know, frequently, you'll run across people who don't have any particular church background, but when they find out you do, are quite happy to ask if you match up to this Sermon on the Mount and the various parts of it they remember. And this part of it, this section, is just another part where we see, well, we see a call to something that's beyond anything that we've ever seen before. And what I was thinking of when I looked at this is that we often find ourselves looking at the Old Testament, and we look at Leviticus in particular, and then we look at the revisiting of Leviticus and Deuteronomy and other things, and we go, oh my goodness, that is so hard. And we frequently find ourselves saying that we are so glad we are New Testament people rather than Old Testament people, and we should be, and we are. But then when we come to this part of the Sermon on the Mount, that's where the sermon title comes from. Who said this would be easier? We look at the Old Testament and say, oh, that would be so hard to keep all of those laws. And it would be hard. But one of the nice things about the Old Testament laws is that they're pretty straightforward. There's no gray. There's nothing, for the most part. There's a bit of the Ten Commandments that you have to have your own, that isn't quite as cut and dried. But for the most part, it says, do this, don't do that. And for most of us, we're really happy to have that. One of the things that you find when you're raising children or being around children at all is that giving children too much choice drives them crazy. And giving us too much choice drives us crazy. They've done some fascinating studies on this. For example, if you are given a number of options for your retirement possibilities, if you work for a company that says, you have all these things that you can invest your retirement income in. The fewer options you have, the higher percentage of people that participate and the more money they put in. Psychologists call it the paralysis of choice. And so when we see something in the Old Testament, even though we look at it and we say that's really hard, there's a little bit of us, at least for most of us, that says it sure would be a lot easier. Because look at what Jesus calls us to here. And we're not looking so much at the exact details, but more the picture of what Jesus is talking about in this new and better way of living our lives. And he uses all these examples. He says, before you were told, do not murder. Well, that's nice. It's a nice cut and dried, and it's a pretty good one because we all agree with this one. You know, it's yes or no. There's no options here. Don't murder people. It doesn't say don't murder people who don't deserve it. It doesn't say if you really don't like them, maybe. No, it just says no, don't. It's as simple as that. And then Jesus says, but I tell you, if you're angry at all, then you're going to be subject to judgment. Well, isn't that a little bit harder? Because in other places, we see that Jesus is angry. Is Jesus, therefore, somehow subject to the same law as murder? Of course not. So there's obviously a place for anger, righteous anger, as it's frequently called. There's a place where we can be appropriately angry. But now we've got this continuum. This is harder. Not murdering people is easy. Well, sometimes it's a challenge, of course, if they really drive you crazy. But not murdering people is easy. Not being angry at people, that's hard. At least it's hard for most of us. And Jesus is telling us that we need to pay attention to the fact that what we feel and what we think is just as important as what we do. And that's where it gets even harder. Yes, it's easier, and yes, it's better in oh so many ways to be New Testament people, to be removed from those strictures of the law, which many of which, let's be honest, don't make any sense to us, especially not in our context. Why we would worry about whether we're wearing a cotton poly blend shirt or just a 100% cotton shirt, like that doesn't make any sense to us. But you have to admit, it's pretty easy. Trying to look at this list of things that Jesus talks about makes it harder. Back in the Old Testament, you had a number of sacrifices you needed to do, and you just did them. For this particular thing, you needed to offer a pigeon or a dove. For this one, you needed to offer a calf or a kid. That's the goat part, not one of your children. That's a different religion. And Jesus says, if you're offering your gift at the altar, just being there to offer it isn't enough. If you have something between you and one of your sisters and brothers, you need to deal with that first, because Jesus is saying that the purpose of sacrifice isn't just in the doing. That sacrifice is an outward expression of an inward reality, which is new, and it's harder. Before that, you could go and you could make a sacrifice. You could do the requirements of your legal responsibilities under your religion. Hating the high priest while you did it. There was no question one way or the other. It wasn't that people thought it was okay. It's just that the question wasn't even asked. And Jesus goes through this whole list saying, you need to pay attention to these things. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. Jesus says, if you look at people with lust, it's just the same. It's not the same outcome. The actions aren't the same, but what it's done to you is the same. That simply not expressing that inward reality, that desire, doesn't mean that you don't have it, and doesn't mean that it hasn't changed who you are inside. Jesus is pushing us to really, really think about what we're doing and why we're doing it. One of the things that we have a struggle with, or at least I have and many other people have, is where Jesus comes and he says this very peculiar thing. He says, I haven't come to destroy the law, but I've come to fulfill the law. What does that mean? And we don't have all the answers to that, or at least I don't have all the answers. But one of the answers that I do have, and one of the directions that I think it's useful for us to think, and one of the things we see here, is that we see that Jesus is saying that this is what the law was hoping to do. The law was intended to change who you were as a person. And it didn't. And Jesus came to take what the law was intended to do, which was change people into individuals who could interact with God in a new way, and in a way that changed who they were from the inside out, and make it actually happen. Because the law is something that you can do, in a sense, with your body, and leave your soul, leave yourself entirely unengaged for most of it. Much of the law was a matter of following these particular rules, doing these particular things. And we don't know everything about why God gave the law. But I think one of the reasons is to demonstrate comprehensively that the doing of things is not enough to change who we are. That we need the doing of things and the changing of who we are on the inside. Because Jesus isn't saying, toss out the law and do whatever you want. He's saying that the law is there as a structure, but doesn't go far enough for us. Jesus isn't saying, go ahead and commit adultery. He's saying, no. You don't commit adultery, but you also don't do this other thing. You don't lust for people. Jesus isn't saying that it's okay to murder. He's saying, not only can you not murder, you can't even hate people, because that is as destructive to you as the actual destruction of life can be. He says, don't be the kind of person who depends on the external taking of an oath to do what you say you're going to do. Just be the kind of person who's dependable. these things are harder than just following these very structured laws of the Old Testament. They're not easier, really, in any way, but they're more effective in changing us into the people we were created to be. Because that's been the goal of our relationship with God always. We don't understand, of all the things we don't understand how the fall exactly happened. We're still, at least I'm still a little baffled by why God allows me so much choice when I use it so badly so often. But one of the things that does is it allows us to choose to become more like Him. And it's through all of these choices, difficult as they are, that we become more and more the people we were created to be. We reflect more and more the reality of God within us. We reflect more and more the reality of our relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, who changes us to become more and more like Jesus as well, as we follow Him. And as we listen to these things that Jesus has told us to do, difficult as they are, but better. Easier isn't always better. And this is one of the places where it isn't. Oh, amen.